Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Yud, and we will begin on Daf Yud Amud Aleph on the second line. Upersoi minolon de meyefes ka'osu. The Gemara in the previous shiur had mentioned Yefes and his descendants, Yefes the son of Noach, and his descendants, the Persians. Says the Gemara, Upersoi minolon de meyefes ka'osu. How do we indeed know that the Persoim come from Yefes? The Ksiv, because the Pasuk says in Parashas Noach, B'nei Yefes, the children of Yefes were Goymer u'Magai, Modai v'Yovoim, v'Suvel u'Meshach v'Siros. Goymer, says the Gemara, Zu Germania, that the children of Goymer are the people who live in Germania. Many say that means Germany. Magog refers to Candia, which is the Greek island of Crete, which is in the Mediterranean. Modai, Kamashmai. Modai means the Modai we find many times in Nach. Modai Pras, which means the Persians, are mentioned many times together with the Modai, and they lived in the area of Iran, Turkey. Tuva Yovan Zu Macedonia. Yovan means Macedonia, which is actually Greece. Tuval Zabes Unaki, which is northwest Turkey. Meshach is Musia, which is near Iraq, or in Iraq. Tiras, Pligabar Rav Simoy Rabbanan. Regarding Tiras, there's a machlokes Rav Simoy Rabbanan. Vamulay Rav Sim Rabbanan disagree. Chanam Azeh based Taraiki. Some say, which refers to Taraiki, which is an area in Greece. Vachanam, another say Zupras, refers to Persia. Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef teaches Zupraisa. Tiras Zupras. The Tiras, who is Yefes's youngest son, is Pras, is Persia. So here we see that Pras, Persia, were descendants of Yefes. The Gemara speaks about other nations now. Sabatko v'Rama v'Sabatko, Tar Rabbi Yosef, Sekisen Gevyaisen, Sakris and Braisa. There was Safta and Savatka are inner Sakistan and outer Sakistan. Ben Chada Lachada, the distance between the two of them is Meir Parasi, 100 Parasi. Vekefa, and the circumference of the outer one is Alpha Parasi, is 1,000 Parasa. The Pasuk says, Vetehi Reshish Mamlachtoi, the beginning of Nimrod's kingdom was Bavel, the Erech, the Akkad, the Chalnea. Bavel is Kamashmo. We have many times Talmud Bavli. Bavli actually is a name of a country, and it's also the name of a city. All of this is what is today Iraq. Erech through Arichus. It's called Arichus. Abed Subashkar, which we know is in Iraq. Kalnea Su Neufred Nymphe. Mina Oratsahi Yotza Asher. The Pasuk says, from that land Ash went out. And as Rashi tells us in Chumash, in Parashas Noach, we learn that the people of the world got together to build Migdal, to build a tower, so to speak, to fight Hashem from. Asher, seeing this, left them, did not want to have any part with them. Taner Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef says, Asher is a Silek. Asher is Silek, which is Assyria. But interestingly enough, the Mefarshim explain, Asher, what did Asher do? Silek. Silek means to remove. He removed himself from all the rest of the people of the world. And actually, that's what the Rambam tells us every person is supposed to do. When faced with a situation that he is in the company and he's being associated with people who are doing the wrong thing, Silek, he should remove himself. V'yiven, Esninve, Vesuchoy, Vesir, Veskalach. They built, and he built the cities of Nineveh, Rechoy, Vesir, and Kalach. Nineveh, Kemashma. Nineveh is the city known as Nineveh, a city in Assyria. Rechoy, Vesir, Suparis, the Mation. Klach, Suparis, the Bersif. Vesresen, and another city was built, was Resen, Bein Nineveh, or Bein Kalach, He Ha'ir Hagdoyla. Resen, says the Gemara Zuk Tisfen, is the city of Tisfen, which Tosfos in Masechta Gittin actually tells us there were two cities called the Tisfen. One was in Bavel, and one was in Eretz Yisrael. And our Gemara is referring to that Tisfen in Eretz Yisrael. He'ir Hagdoyla, the person continues, this is the great city, says the Gemara. The pasuk here says, "Vesresen ben Nineveh uben Kalach hir aragdoila." Says the Gemara, "Eini yodeya." I'm not quite certain im Nineveh aragdoila. When the pasuk uses the words "the great city," is it referring to Nineveh, "Vemresen aragdoila," or is it referring to Resen? Kshuomer, when the pasuk says in Yoina, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Yoina to Nineveh to tell them that they should do tshuva, because if they won't do tshuva, he will destroy the city. Nineveh was a very large city to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mahalach Shlosh Shamim, a 3-day journey. When the city, Pasuk speaks about Erek Doila, it's referring to Nineveh. So, the Mefarshim Tosfos points out, this pasuk mentions three cities: Resen, Nineveh, and Kelach. The Gemara only is questioning if Nineveh or Resen were the great cities, but the Gemara never asked if Kelach is the great city referred to. Asks Tosfos, why not? So Tosfos says, because the last city mentioned in the pasuk is Kelach, and the words that the pasuk ends with are "He ha'ir hagdoila." It was the large city. If Kelach was what "ir hagdoila" was referring to, then the pasuk shouldn't have said "He ha'ir hagdoila." The pasuk should have just said "He'ir hagdoila." The fact that the pasuk said "He ha'ir hagdoila," it proves that Kelach is not what was under consideration. The Tosfos Yeshanim gives a different teretz. He says, the Gemara only was questioning if we're referring to Nineveh, because we already know from the pasuk, in fact the pasuk that the Gemara ultimately quoted, that Nineveh was a large city. Or is the pasuk referring to, or is the pasuk, when it says Ir Hagdoila, referring to Resen, because that is the city under discussion. But Kelach, where we don't have any reason to believe that that's what Ir Hagdoila is referring to, it's not the city the pasuk is speaking about. It's not a city that we find anywhere in Tanakh referred to as the Ir Hagdoila. So the Gemara never took it under consideration that it should be the Ir Hagdoila that the pasuk is referring to. Another pshat that the Eshkol says was the people in those days knew the cities. These cities don't really necessarily mean much to us, but they were aware of these cities. They knew that Resen was a large city. They knew that Nineveh was a large city. And they also knew that Kelach wasn't a large city. So that's why they never had a kasha, is Kelach what we were referring to? Because they knew Kelach wasn't a large city. They only had a question regarding these two cities. The pasuk says in Parashas Shalach, when the Meraglim came to see Eretz Yisrael, they were scared to go to the city of Hebron, because in the city of Hebron was Shom, Achiman, Sheshai, Vesalmei, Yelidei Ha'anak, the children of the giant. And the only one who went to Hebron to daven by the Kivrei Ha'Avos, by the Ma'aros HaMachpelah, was Kalev. The rest was scared because these people resided there. So the Gemara will now expound on these names. Says the Maral, what makes us think that there's a reason that these names are to be expounded on? Says the Maral, if the entire purpose of mentioning the names of these people was just to say that these were the children of the Anak who lived there, what the Pasuk should have said was, Vishom, and over there were Yelidei HaAnak, the children of the giants, who were Achiman, Sheshai, Vesalmei. But that's not what the Pasuk does. The Pasuk says, Vishom, Achiman, Sheshai, Vesalmei, and only then does it go back to mentioning Yelidei HaAnak. It must be, says Tosfos, it must be, says the Maral, that the Pasuk didn't say it in this order to teach us a specific lesson about them. Tana, and therefore the Gemara explains, Achimon, Meyuman Shebeachim. He was the most powerful of the brothers, as Rashi explains. Meyuman is from the word Yomin, right. The right hand is usually the stronger hand. He was Meyuman Shebeachim, the strongest of the brothers. Sheshai, Shemesim is Aretz Kishchisus. Wherever he stepped, he would ruin the earth that he stepped on because he was so strong and his footsteps made such an imprint. Tamai, Shemesim is Aretz Tulamim Tulamim. He would make the earth into furrows as he walked along the earth. Davar Achar, Achimon Bana Anois. Achimon built the city of Anois. Sheshai Bana Olush. Tamai Bana Talbush. And like the Mashal explains, when somebody builds a city, he becomes famous because a city remains forever, and that's why these people became famous, because they built places. Yelidei ha'anak shemanikim hacham bekamasam. They made the sun into a necklace around their necks because they were so tall, it looked like the sun was right next to their heads. Omer Yeshua ben Levi, Omer Rebbe, asida roimi shetipo b'yad pras. Eventually Rome will fall into the hands of Persia. Sinema, as the pasuk says, L'che in Yirmiyah, L'chein Shimu Atzas Hashem. Listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said, devised, Ashiyot Sal Edom, where he has decided to do with Edom, which is Rome, Umach Shavoysov, Asher Choshov, Al Yoshvei Seimon, and his plans for the people of Teman, who are the grandchildren of Esav, im lo yischofum tzirei hatzoyim, that the youngest of the flock will drag them, im lo yosim aleim neveim, and they will devastate their dwellings. So ultimately, the Romans will be devastated. Ask the Gemara, fine, they're going to be devastated. But maskal of Rava Bar Ula, my mashm da haitzire hatzoin, how do we know that these young sheep, who we say will be the one to devastate Rome, are prasu, are indeed Persia? Stiksiv, because the Pasuk says in Daniel, where Daniel has a vision in which he saw a two-horned ram, says the Pasuk, Ha'ayol asher re'isa, the two-horned ram that you saw, Bala Kanayim, Humalche Mode Pras. So the first to Pras, ask the Gemara, Ve'eme Yovin, but maybe it refers to Greece, the Ksiv, Vatsofir Vatsoir Melech Yovin. The Pasuk says, the he-goat, which is the king of Greece. So we see that Greece also is considered, is compared to a goat, which is from the Tzoyn family, from the sheep family. So maybe when we're saying that Edom will fall into the hands of the sheep, it means that it will fall into the hands of Greece, not into the hands of Persia. says the Gemara, Kisolok Rav Chavivi by Surmota, Amr Kamedahu Rabbonim. He spoke about this discussion in front of one of the Talmidim, one of the Talmidim Chachamim. Amalei, Mandala Yoda Purusha Kro. Somebody who doesn't know how to explain the Pasuk, Moisif to Yuftal Rebbe, asks questions, Mai Tzire Hatzoin, what does the Pasuk mean, the youngest of the flock? Zutru Dachoi, the youngest of the sons of Yefes, and the Tani Rav Yosef, as we learned at the beginning of the Shir, Tiras, who was Yefes' youngest son, Zepras. So if the Tzire Hatzoin, Yefes' youngest son, who was his youngest son? Persia. Amar Rabba Babachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Yehuda Bar Baloi, Asida Roy Mishatipa Biyat Pras. Eventually, Rome will fall into the hands of Persia. Because we make the following Kal V'Chaimah. Oman Migdash Rishon, the first base of Migdash, Shebanu B'nei Shem, which was built by the descendants of Shem, it was built by Shlomo HaMelech, V'chrivu Kazdim, and was destroyed by the Chaldeans. Ultimately, Noflu Kazdim Biyat Persaim, the Chaldeans fell into the hands of the Persians. Migdash Sheni, so the second base of Migdash, Shebanu Persaim, which was built by the Persaim, because Ezra was allowed to return to Israel and build the base of Migdash because of the permission of Kairish Melech Pras, who even gave them materials to use to build the base of Migdash. Migdash Sheni, Shebanu Persaim, V'chrivu Ramayim, so it was built by the Persaim and destroyed by the Romans. Ain't a din, certainly, Shiplu Ramayim about Persaim, the Romans will fall into the hands of the Persaim. However, the Gemara says a different opinion, Amarav, Asida Pras Shetipa Biyad Roimi. Actually, Pras will fall into the hands of Rome. Amalei Rav Kahana Ravasi LaRav, so Rav Kahana and Ravasi ask Rav, Benoi Biyad Sutari, is that proper that those that built the base of Migdash, the Persians who built the base of Migdash, as we just explained, should fall into the hands of the Romans who destroyed it? Amlo in. Yes. Gzeiris Melchi. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees. So Mepharshim try to understand what does the Gemara mean, Gzeiris HaMelchi, that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decree. Of course this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decree. Everything that happens is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decree. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that in our minds, we don't think it's fair that the Persians who built the Beis HaMikdash should fall into the hands of the Romans who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows really what everybody's true intentions were. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that the intentions of the Persians were not actually that noble. For in fact, the Persians had the base of Migdash built out of wood, which would be easily burnt down. So they weren't such great people. Gzeiris HaMelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows what's going on, realized that. And that's why he said that the Persians should fall into the hands of the Romans. Another pshat that I saw from the Divrei Shaul is as follows. He explains that if somebody does someone else a favor, not because he wanted to, because he was forced into it, that's not really called a favor. Or if somebody does somebody else something bad, not because he wanted to harm someone else, but he was forced to harm him, that's not considered that he really did something wrong. Says the Gemara, we look at the world that the Romans did something horrible. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. We look at the world that the Persaim did something great. They built the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Gzeiras HaMelech! What the Persians did, they didn't do because they wanted to. They did it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to. The Romans destroyed the Beis HaMikdash because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to. So that's why they're not the builders. And they're not the destroyers, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands what he's doing. Ikad Amri, Amle Inu Kasasrbe Knishta. The Persians also destroy Beis HaMikdash, the shuls, and therefore they deserve to fall into the hands of the Romans. And Tanya Namihochi, a Sida Prasha Tipa Biyad Romi, Persia will fall into the hands of Roman. Hada, one reason, the Sasbek Nishta, because they have destroyed shuls. Voig Zeres Amelechu, Shiyipel Poin Biyad Soysim, the built the base of the Migdash, the Persians, should fall into the hands of those destroyed it, the Romans. Dom Rav Yehuda Amarav, Ein Ben David Ba, Mashiach will not come, Ach Shetivshait, Machas Ruim Arisha, until the Roman Empire will spread out b'chovaylam kulay over the entire world tisha chadashim shenemar l'chein yitnim. I will give them over eis yulada until the time that one gives birth. V'yeser eis yaldi yulada v'yeser achav yashuvin. Then the rest of the brothers of Mashiach, the rest of Klal Yisrael, will return al b'nei Yisrael with Klal Yisrael. Mefarshim discuss what is this pshat that for 9 months Rome will have dominion over the world. The Ben Yehoyada explains that when Yaakov and Esav were together in the womb of Rivka, they made a deal. They made a deal. Yaakov would have Olam Haba and Esav would have Olam Hazeh. The world is now coming towards Mashiach, says the Gemara. And Esav never really had a full Olam Hazeh, full control. So for the last 9 months, before Mashiach comes, that's when that deal will be fulfilled. Along the same lines, he explains that while Yaakov and Esav were in Rivka's womb, Esav could have done harm to Yaakov, could have killed him, was certainly wounded him, and he didn't. So in schar, in payment for not hurting Yaakov, he will have that the last 9 months of the world's existence before Mashiach, he will have full dominion. The Mashah explains that the Gemara says Tzdaka osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us a great thing, Shepizran ben Umas, that he scattered us around the world. Because by scattering us around the world, even if Chas V'Shalom, Rachmana L'Tzlan, Jews are persecuted in one country, they always have another place to live where they will be safe and not persecuted. But when Mashiach's time will come, Asid Roimi, Rome will be Nispashet Akol Olam Kulay. And the entire world will have one country ruling it, the country of Rome. And when one country is ruling, one nation is ruling the world, so then there is no Pizroim Bene Imos, there is no scattering of Klal Yisrael amongst the nations of the world, and that's why it will be a time of great sorrows. And the morale explains that when Mashiach comes, there will be a new world, a better world. And just like before a child is born, there's 9 months of pregnancy before the birth of the child, so too the Chevle Mashiach, the pain of Mashiach coming, is similar to the Chevle Leda, to the pain of the birth of a child, the 9 months. And that's the significance of the 9 months of Roman dominion prior to the coming of Mashiach. So our Gemara goes back to what we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta about the Lishkas Bahedrin, the room in which the Kohen Gadol was sequestered for the 7 days before Yom Kippur. Tan Rabban, Kol Lishkas Shehayu Beis Mikdash, all the various chambers were in the Beis Mikdash, Loi Hayu Lahem Mezuzah, there was no Mezuzah to them, Chutz Mi Lishkas Bahedrin, aside for the Lishkas Bahedrin, which did have a Mezuzah on its door. Shahiva based Israel Kohen Gadol, since the Kohen Gadol lived there, so a mezuzah was affixed to that door. Amr Yehuda, so Yehuda says, for like Kamal Lishkai Shahiva Migdash, Shahiva based Israel, weren't there many chambers in which the various guards and watchmen of the Beis Migdash lived, for like Hayal and Mezuzah, and they didn't have a mezuzah? Says Rabbi Yehuda, Ela Lishkas Bahedrin, Kzeir Haisa. There was a special decree that the Lishkas Bahedrin should have a mezuzah, as Rashi says, as the Gemara will say in Amud Beis, because Shlai Nira Kekoyin Chavish Beis Asurin. It should not appear as if the Koyin is in jail, he's in a room where he has to be locked up. So the Gevura Sari asks, the Gemara says in Masechet Menachos that if someone rents an apartment, if it's in Eretz Yisrael, he should put up the mezuzah immediately. If it's Chutz Laaretz, he only should put up the mezuzah by 30 days. And the reason why in Eretz Yisrael the mezuzah is put up immediately, says the Gemara, is Mishum Yishev Eretz Yisrael. We want Eretz Yisrael populated. But the point of that Gemara, says the Gevura Sari, is that if somebody is only living in an apartment which he doesn't own, and he's certainly living there only on a very temporary basis, he doesn't put up a mezuzah. So the Kohen Gadol is only living in that Lishkas Sanhedrin for 7 days. So why does he put up a mezuzah? So a number of terutzim are given to this question. One terutz is that since he's living there, because that's the mitzvah, as we've been explaining, the chshivas, the significance of the mitzvah, makes that room into a beis dira, makes it into a home, and therefore a mezuzah is put up there, even though he's only there for 7 days. Because, as Rabbi Aryeh Leib Malin explains, the chiv of a mezuzah depends on a dira. A dira normally means a place that you live permanently. But if it becomes a dira because the mitzvah makes it into a dira, it's also mechuyev in a mezuzah. Another teretz that's given by some of the achronim is that although the kohen lived for those 7 days, 24/7 day and night in the lishkas behedrin, the rest of the year the lishkas behedrin served as the kohen gadol's office. So if we combine these 7 days where he lived there permanently, plus the rest of the year where that room served as his office, that's why it's mechuyev in a mezuzah. Another reason given is that the Kohanim Gedolim would use their own funds to refurbish and renovate the Lishkas Behedrin. So it wasn't just a room like they were renting, it was a room they had some sort of ownership in, and that's why it's mechuyev in a mezuzah, even though they are there for such a short amount of time. And another teretz that's given is that since he's there for a week, but he's there for a week every year for a week. Every year, the week before Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol lives there. Therefore, he's mechuyev to put a mezuzah to be put up there. And actually, the Paiskim use that concept for a shayla lahalocha lemaisa. There are people who have timeshare. They own a week, a year, an apartment in whatever area around the world. Are they mechuyev to put up a mezuzah? According to this last teretz that we just quoted, where every year, since the kohen was there on a regular basis every year for a week, that gives it the status of his dira, of his apartment. Therefore, similarly, in such a situation, the Paiskim say that if a person has an apartment every year, he's there for a week, perhaps he should put up a mezuzah. But Tosfos asks, why in the Beis HaEvan, the room that we discussed also, that the Kohen who prepared the Parah Aduma was in, sequestered in, didn't have to have a mezuzah? So one teretz Tosfos gives is that we're only speaking about rooms that were in the Kodesh, in the Beis HaMikdash proper. The Beis HaEvan, in which the Kohen who was preparing the Parah Aduma wasn't in the Beis HaMikdash proper, so therefore we're not discussing those rooms. Another teretz, which works along what we said previously, is that the Lishkas Behedrin was used every year for the 7 days before Yom Kippur. Whereas the Beis HaEvan, the Parah Aduma, was prepared on quite an infrequent basis, and therefore it's less used and doesn't have to have a mezuzah. Also, based on the terutzim that we gave before, since the Beis HaEvan, the Kohen didn't contribute with his own funds to refurbish, so he doesn't have to put up a mezuzah. It was not used, the Beis HaEvan was not used for any other purpose besides to sequester the Kohen who was preparing the Parah Aduma ashes.
Unlike the Lishkas Pahedrin, which was the Kohen Gadol's office all year round, that's why the Beis Evin did not have a mezuzah. Dar Sameach says another interesting teretz. He says, in the Lishkas Pahedrin, yes, the Kohen Gadol lived, but the Kohen Gadol was sequestered into Lishkas Pahedrin, but all the people were allowed to visit him in the Lishkas Pahedrin during that week before Yom Kippur. However, as we explained at the beginning of the Masechta, the reason the Kohen who was preparing the Paraduma ashes had to be sequestered was that we didn't want anybody to come in contact with him who would make him Chas V'Sholem Tamei. Therefore, nobody else came into that Lishkas Beis Evin besides that Kohen. A room in which no one else is allowed besides the Kohen who is preparing the ashes, not considered a dira if no one else could come in, and therefore did not have a mezuzah. Now, Rabbi Yehuda mentioned that there were a number of chambers in the Beis HaMikdash that did not have, that were used as a base dira, did not have a mezuzah. And this really refers to what is mentioned in the Sechta Midos, that there were 24 places in the Beis HaMikdash complex where there were shomrim, there were guards. There's a machlokes why these guards were put there. Some say it was for covet, a special significant place, a palace, an office building has a guard. Here too, the Beis HaMikdash had guards. Another reason given is to prevent people who are tamei from entering the Beis HaMikdash, or people who are not supposed to go, Yisraelim are not supposed to be in certain places, they should not go where they're not supposed to be. From these 24 places where guards were stationed, 3 were in the Beis HaMikdash proper, and they were staffed by Kohanim. The other 21 places were outside of the Beis HaMikdash proper, there the guards were Levim. Does Machlokes Rishonim when the guards were stationed? The Rambam holds that the guards were there only by night. However, other Rishonim hold that the guards were there 24 hours a day. And the question actually is, why did these guard, the rooms where these guards stayed, not have to have mezuzahs? So according to the Rambam, who says that they were only stationed there at night, the Mefarshim say it's understood, because if the room is only used at night, there is no chiyuv mezuzah. However, according to the other Rishonim, who say that the guards were there all of the time, why didn't they have to have mezuzahs? So the Siach Yitzchak explains that those rooms were not originally designated as rooms for guards to live in. They were part of the Beis HaMikdash. After the Beis HaMikdash and its complex of rooms was built, they stationed people in these places. But they weren't built as a dira. They weren't built as a place to live, and that's why there's no chiyuv mezuzah. Also, the Sfasemis says that the Lishkas Pahedrin, at least for that week before Yom Kippur, was the home of the Kohen Gadol. The home of the Kohen Gadol for that week was the Lishkas Pahedrin, and a home is mechuyev in a mezuzah. The place where the guards were stationed wasn't their homes. Their homes were at home. It was their place of work, so to speak. A home is mechuyev in a mezuzah. And that's why everybody agreed that those guardhouses did not have a mezuzah. Says the Gemara, to understand the machlokes of Yehuda and Rabbanan. My Talmud Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda who holds that the only reason a mezuzah is put up on the Lishkas Pahedrin is because of a gzeira, that the children look like the Kohen is in a Beis HaSurim? Amar Rava, Kesav Rabbi Yehuda, Kabai Shein Osulim Moisa Chamel or Moisa Gishamim, any house that's not erected for the winter and the summer for 24 hours, for 12 months a year, ain't a bais. Is not considered a home that has to have a mezuzah. Eis v'habaya, asks Habaya, the Pasuk says in Amos, v'ksiv beisachoyre v'kesi beisachoyre beisakayit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy their winter homes and their summer homes. Omalei beisachoyre v'beisakayit zikri. So we see that a home, even which is used only for the winter or the summer, is considered a house. So says Rabbi Yehuda, beisachoyre v'beisakayit zikri. It's called a summer home, a winter home. Beisdamalei yikri, it's not called a full-fledged house. And that's why the Lishkas Pehedrin, which was only used for a week, Rabbi Yehuda holds, is not mechuyiv in a mezuzah midaraisa. And in fact, this is a question that comes up regarding people who rent summer bungalows. Are they mechuyiv in mezuzah because they're not a full-fledged home? And Rav Moshe actually says in the Tshuvas that we are makbid to put on a mezuzah there. But he says, if someone owns such a home, he should certainly put up a mezuzah immediately. If someone rents a home, so he says, interestingly, although we quoted earlier that the halacha is that if somebody rents a home in Chutz La'aretz, he only puts up a mezuzah after 30 days, the Nemuka Yosef says, that's only if he did not lease it for longer than 30 days. But let's say someone leased a home, an apartment, for a year, 2 years, whatever. Since the lease is for longer than 30 days, even though he's only a renter, he should put up the mezuzah immediately. Says Rav Moshe, that's only in a regular apartment, in a regular house. But in a bayis ha-kayetz, if it's only a summer bungalow, which as we're learning now is also not maybe necessarily called a home, and it's also only an area which I'm renting, not owning, there you should wait, says Rav Moshe, to put up the mezuzah until the 30 days. Eisvei Abaya asks Abaya on this explanation. The Mishnah says, Sukkah Sachag B'chag, the Sukkah on Yontiv, Rehuda Mechayiv, Rehuda says you have to take Meiser, we'll explain it in a minute, V'chom and Paitrim, V'tanela. What does it mean of Rehuda Mechayiv? Rehuda Mechayiv Erev, though as we learned the Mesech the Erevin, that if the number of homes opening to one courtyard, every one of the homes has to contribute to an Erev Chatzeris for everybody to be able to carry in that courtyard, the mezuzah or the meiser. And the halacha is that if somebody brings produce into the house, that's when it's mechuyev to take off trumas and meisers from it, not prior. Says Rabbi Yehuda that if produce is brought into a mezuzah, it's mechuyev and meiser. So here we see that a mezuzah, which is also only a home for a week, is considered a house that's mechuyev mezuzah. Yet Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said that the Lishkas Pehedrin was not mechuyev mezuzah. Why? Why is the Lishkas Pehedrin different than the sukkah? So Rishonim asked, why is the Gemara asking only on Rabbi Yehuda that by the sukkah he says is mechuyev mezuzah, and by the Lishkas Pehedrin he said it's potter from mezuzah? Why doesn't the Gemara ask on the Rabbanon, that Rabbanon held that the Lishkas Pehedrin is mechuyev mezuzah, and the sukkah is potter from mezuzah? So actually, when we learn the Gemara in Amud Beis, we'll see perhaps a teretz. But the Tosfos says there's a difference between the Lishkas Pehedrin and the sukkah. The Lishkas Pehedrin, for that week that the Kohen is there for 24/7. However, in a sukkah, a person doesn't have to be in the sukkah all the time. So therefore, the Rabbanan could differentiate between a sukkah and the Lishkas Pehedrin. Another teretz that's given is that Rabbi Yehuda is the same Rabbi Yehuda who says by the Lishkas Pehedrin there's no chiyuv to sit, to have a mezuzah, and by the sukkah he's saying there is a chiyuv to have a mezuzah. But the Chachamim are not necessarily the same Chachamim who said both things. And that's why the Gemara only asked the question on Rabbi Yehuda, not on the Chachamim. V'chitayma, so perhaps what you're going to say, when Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah Masech the Maisris that the Sukkah is Mechuy B'mezuzah, it's only with Rabbanan he said it. Says, but with the Raisa, he will agree that a sukkah like the Lishkas Pehedrin did not require a mezuzah. Says the Gemara, that teretz is untenable. Because Bishlam Erev, we could explain that the chiv to make an Erev from the sukkah, or the chiv to put up a mezuzah on the sukkah, Ikalam eim adrabonin. We could say it's only a chiv adrabonin. Elamaisa mi ikalam eim adrabonin. Can we say that it's madrabonin a chiv to take maiser? If you will say that, dem asla frushim in a chiv al aptor, on a ptar al a chiv. What will we be saying? We will be saying that the produce brought into a sukkah is not really mechuyiv in maisa midaraisa. Produce brought into a house is mechuyiv midaraisa for maisa to be taken from it. But people will not realize the difference, and they may take maisa, truma maisa, from the produce which is brought into the sukkah, which is really not mechuyiv to exempt the produce which was brought into the house, which is mechuyiv midaraisa and trumas and maisras. To prevent that mistake from happening, the Rabbanim would have never told us to take maisras from the produce brought into the sukkah. Ask Tosfos, don't we find so many places in Shas that Chazal said the midrabbanim we have to take off truma and maisra? And the Gemara never says, well, by doing this there's a concern that we're going to take min aptor al achiv. And all of a sudden now we are concerned that by making a gzeira that maaser should be taken, we may end up taking min aptar l'chiv. With the problem of taking min aptar l'chiv, it's interesting to explain, is because what does maaser mean? The point of maaser is that we're fixing, we're misaking the peiros. If you take something that you don't have to do, you haven't accomplished anything. That's why min aptar l'chiv is meaningless. So Taisa says, in all the other places in Shas, where Chazal tell us to take Truma Mais from Drabonon, it's obvious that there's a difference between the different types of produce. For example, the most common example of taking Truma Mais from Drabonon is Demai, when somebody buys produce from Amoritz, many times quoted in Shas. But everybody realizes that there's a fundamental difference between produce that I brought from an Amoritz, Demai, versus produce that is real tevel, because first of all, it's substantially different. Number two, truma gedoyla does not have to be taken from the mai. Number three, even if you take off mice from the mai, you have to be mafrish the maaser, but you don't have to give it to the kohen or levi, unlike when you take it from tevel. So since they're intrinsically different, everybody realizes that they shouldn't come to make a mistake. However, the produce brought into the sukkah and the produce brought into the house is the same. Or Taisha says, if there's a chiv to take off truma semaisis medrabonon from produce brought from a goy, everybody realizes that produce brought from a goy and produce brought from a Jew is intrinsically different. The difference between produce brought into the sukkah and produce brought into the house is not so noticeable. But ask the Taisha Sishonim, so what is if I take off truma maaser from produce that was brought into the sukkah? Won't that produce eventually be mechuyev in maaser midaraisa when it will be brought into the house? So I took it off now. So why is it not considered that I took minachiyev alachiyev? So the Tosfos HaRosh answers, the halacha is that to be mechuyev in truma and maaser midaraisa, two stipulations must be met. It has to be completely processed prior to being brought into the house and then being brought into the house. Says the Tosfos HaRosh, what will be the situation if I took produce to the sukkah and I processed it, took it to the sukkah, and then took it to the house? That produce will be mechuyev midaraisa to take off trumas and maisers. But let's say I'll have produce that I didn't complete processing till I took into the house, and I'll take it into the house and then complete the processing, will not be mechuyev midaraisa. But now these two piles of produce are right next to each other in the house. So the chiv al ptur and the ptur al chiv is just the other way now. I may end up taking from the produce that was brought it directly into the house, which may never be mechuyev midaraisa because it was not processed prior to being brought into the house, onto the produce that was brought into the house properly, even though it made a stop in the sukkah first. So to prevent all these kind of considerations, we would have never told us to take Trumas and Maisus from what goes into the Sukkah. So if that's the case, we need to understand again the Machloikas of Yehuda and the Tanakhama. Elam Abaya, B'shiva Kul Amloi Pligida Machayva. During the 7 days before Yom Kippur, everybody will agree that there's a chiv to put up a mezuzah. Ki pligi b'shayim ma'is hashana. The machlokes is the rest of the year. Rabbanan Savri gazrin shayim ma'is hashana to shiva. Since this lishkas b'hedrin has to have a mezuzah for this week before Sukkot, so we put it up the whole year. Rabbi Yehuda Savri like gazrin. He doesn't hold that gzeira, but as the Rishonim explain, he does agree that a mezuzah has to be put up midrabbanan. Why do you have to put up a mezuzah midrabbanan for that week? Because shlayir nira kikoin chavish beis asurim. It should not look like the kohen gadol is living in a jail. So the achronim ask, so what's the practical machloikas between Rabbi Yehuda and the rabbanan? They both agree that the week before Yom Kippur there's a chiv deraisa. They both agree that the rest of the year it's a drabbanan. So what's the machloikas? So Mefarshim explain, the Siach Yitzchak explains, the machloikas will be as follows. What would be if there'd be another such a situation where you have a home, a house, or apartment that part of the year is mechuyev and mezuzah? Do you have to put up a mezuzah for the rest of the year? According to Rabbanan, you do. Could the Rabbanan hold that any area that has a chiv per part of the year, midaraisa, the rest of the year we should put up a mezuzah midrabbanan? According to Rabbi Yehuda, however, there is no such gzeira. There's a special gzeira by the Lishkas Sanhedrin, shlayinira kebeis ha'asurin. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda will not agree that such an area would have to have a mezuzah. Omle Rava. So Rava asks Abaya, v'sukkah sachar b'chaktoni. Rabbi Yehuda spoke about the sukkah that's mechuyiv. The Rabbanan said that the sukkah is potter from mezuzah. But according to your explanation, why should the sukkah, according to the Rabbanan, be potter from mezuzah? Elam Rava b'shari ma'as hashana kulam lo'i pligi d'ptura. Everybody agrees that during the year, the Sanhedrin, Lishkas Sanhedrin, doesn't have to have mezuzah. Ki pligi b'shiva. The machlokes is regarding sukkahs. The sukkah tam l'chud, the lishka tam l'chud. The sukkah should be looked at separately, and the lishka, the lishka Sanhedrin should be looked at separately. Sukkah tam l'chud, Rabbi Yehuda tamay. Rabbi Yehuda goes according to his explanation. The omah sukkah there is kviabinen. The sukkah should be a permanent residence. That's why Rabbi Yehuda says that a sukkah made out of walls, which are chaf amma, 20 amma tall, it's a sturdy structure, is mechuyev, is considered a sukkah. And it's mechayev mezuzah. Rabbanan Tamayu, damer sukkah diras arayinin. The sukkah should be a temporary residence. It's a loy mechayev mezuzah, and that's why it's not mechuyev in mezuzah. And we pass on like Rabbanan, that a sukkah doesn't have to have a mezuzah. In fact, the shayla comes up, what happens if someone erects a sukkah in a room? He has his kitchen, let's say, where the roof is removable, and he makes a sukkah. So now, and he has a mezuzah on that room because it's his kitchen all year that has a mezuzah. So does he have to take down that mezuzah? So the halacha, the poskim say, is that the mezuzah does not have to be removed. The mezuzah does not have to be removed if it's up there all year. And it's not considered, the poskim say, tasav loy mina osui, that the mezuzah was there when it doesn't have to be there. Because since when the mezuzah was put up, it was put up when it's a kitchen, not a mezuzah, not a sukkah, so that mezuzah remains the way it is. However, the poskim do point out, should the mezuzah fall down during sukkahs, the mezuzah should be put back up without a bracha. And then, since when the mezuzah was put up, it was put up on a sukkah, which is an area that's not mechuyev in a mezuzah, the mezuzah, when you then go put your roof back on that room and turn it back into your full-fledged kitchen, put on the mezuzah again, take off and put on the mezuzah again. The lishka tam alechud. And the reason regarding the lishka sanhedrin is also separately. Rabbanan Savri dira ba'kachashma dira. A place where you have to be is considered still a dira. So even though the Kohen Gadol didn't have a choice, he had to live in the Lishkas Sanhedrin, it's considered a dira and it's mechuyev mezuzah. Rabbi Yehuda saw a dira ba'kocha lishma dira, a house where a person has to be is not considered a dira. And with Rabbanan tekinalei, it's only a gzeir Rabbanan that you should put up a mezuzah on the Lishkas Sanhedrin, shlo yomer Kohen Gadol chomesh beis asurim, it should not seem like the Kohen Gadol is in a jail. So Mefarshim ask, so why is the halacha that Rabbi Yehuda should say that that the sukkah is mechuyim mezuzah? Rabbi Yehuda says that a dira ba'karcha, a place where you have to be, is lashma dira. So therefore, a sukkah should also is a place you have to be. So a number of truths are given, because the Ritva says that the Lishkas Behedrin was an area where the Kohen Gadol was without his family. In a sukkah, a person is there with his family. The Tosfos Yesharim says that Lishkas Behedrin, the Kohen Gadol wasn't allowed to leave. A sukkah, a person can leave. Certainly he can leave if he's mitzvah or for other reasons. So you can't compare a sukkah to call it a dira bal karcha and like the Lishkas Behedrin. Another teretz, like the Sfasema says, a sukkah could be put up wherever you want. You don't have to have a specific place where the sukkah is put up. However, the Lishkas Behedrin is where the Lishkas Behedrin actually was. The Mefarshim also discuss the status of a prison. Is a mechuyiv in mezuzah or not? Because it would seem from our Gemara that shloyimru kain gadol beis asurim, that Rabbi Yehuda says that we don't want people to consider that Lishkas Behedrin as a jail. It would seem that because a jail is part of a mezuzah. But others, the Birka Yosef, disagrees. He says that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like Rabbana. And according to Rabbana, we don't have this concern. It means perhaps that Rabbana will agree that a prison is mechuyiv in mezuzah. However, Rabbi Yosef points out, he discusses the shaila about hospitals being mechuyiv in mezuzah. He says, since these are areas that were not constructed specifically for Jews, as we will discuss in the coming shiurim, therefore, there's certainly no chiyuv mezuzah midiraisa. Says the Gemara, Man tana lahad tana rabbanan. Who's the tana of the following braisa? Kol asharim shayisham. All the gates that were in the base of Mikdash lahayil mezuzah did not have a mezuzah. Chutz mishan nikna. Beside the shan nikna, shalafnim imen a lishkas apedrin. There was a lishkas apedrin. Lame rabbanan hiv rabbi Yehuda. She would say it only goes according to rabbanan, not rabbi Yehuda. Di rabbi Yehuda, he guf gzeira. As we just explained, the whole reason to have a mezuzah on the Lishkas Behedrin according to Rabbi Yehuda is only gzeira. V'anan nekem v'nigzah gzeira. Now we should say that not only the Lishkas Behedrin has to have a mezuzah, but even the shahr that leads to it. Answers the Gemara, feel time Rabbi Yehuda. Could really say it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda? Kul achad gzeira hi, because it's all considered one big gzeira. Because the Rabbanan had not required that we should put a mezuzah on the shahr nikna, it would seem again, the delicious Behedrin is only a jail. Because usually the shahr, usually the gate leading to a place that's mechuyiv and mezuzah, has to have mezuzah also. So in order that we should not make a mistake and think it's a jail, so just like we said the delicious Behedrin, according to Rabbi Yehuda, should have mezuzah, so too the shahr leading to it, showing that it's like a true home, should also have a mezuzah, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's like a true home, should also have a mezuzah, even according to Rabbi Yehuda.